Wrapping up a very busy week with you, Friday, June 10th, 2022, edition of Connecticut Today, right here on WICC. I offered some thoughts and some highlights on the first primetime hearing, which happened the night before, from the House January 6th Committee. And for more analysis, we were joined by former Time Magazine D.C. reporter, and he's currently Professor Emeritus at St. Peter's University in Jersey City, New Jersey. Alan Sanders gave his thoughts on various angles concerning that January 6th committee hearing. Yeah, the big buzz. Everybody is talking today and again about committee hearing last night in prime time. The January 6th committee hearing last night, which, again, as a lot of people thought last night, or Thursday night, if you're listening to this down the road sometime on the timeline on our Best Of program or on the podcast, basically a reset of a lot of stuff that some people, you know, already kind of knew. You know what I mean? And it's a scenario of basically, I guess, laying it out for the American people here. Because, again, this didn't happen yesterday. It's been about, what, 17 months already from January of 2021 to here we are getting toward the mid part of June 2022. So, you know, a lot of the stuff was stuff that had already been bandied about, including what was said by Attorney General William Barr. All of that. I guess some things were a little startling last night. Maybe not startling. That might be the wrong word to use. A little revelatory. The president's daughter, Ivanka, saying that yeah, she believed William Barr when William Barr called all the accusations of a rigged election bull. Yeah, he didn't hold back. I can say that here, but again, that was not new last night. That had come out right before William Barr's book came out. So a lot of people are saying, hey, did you see what William Barr said last night? Well, no, we knew that. You know, that came out months ago. So, you know, again, we have a scenario here or a question of, you know, did the presentation last night, and again, there's going to be another four or five of them. Most of them are going to be, I guess the immediate ones coming up next week are going to be middle of the day events that may get, may get carried by the broadcast networks, maybe not. But most of them are going to be in the middle of the day. I think they may have one or two more scheduled for primetime. But other than a reset of the stuff that we kind of sort of already knew, right? Other than a reset of that, did it change your mind at all? And our Facebook question of the day today at facebook.com/WICC600, two-part question. And again, if you're answering this, I'm asking you, I know people tend to get a little, You be a little wiseacre on there. I know that. I understand that. But did you watch any of last night's, Thursday night's primetime January 6th committee hearing? And if you did, what did you think? Now, be careful with what you put there. I'm not against a vigorous debate, but careful of the memes you put up. Watch your language. Watch any allusions to body parts, certain metabolic functions of the human body. You know what I mean here. So let's treat this as adults here. And we're already getting comments on that. So if you want to go to our Facebook page, you certainly can. Facebook.com/WICC600. And let me know what you thought. Simple question, two-part question now. I know it's tough. It's Friday. You've been dealing with multi-part questions all week. But did you watch any of Thursday night's primetime January 6th committee hearing? And if you did, what did you think? Did it change your mind any? Or was this exercise last night, even though it's long over, thankfully, what happened, you know, 16, 17 months ago, even though it's long over, was this an exercise? And I think it was, when you think about it. Was this largely an exercise to keep Donald Trump off of the 2024 presidential ballot? Now, I don't think he should run. I've said that before, and I don't think he will. But now they're saying, hey, he may announce his 2024 candidacy on July 4th. Oh, my God. Can you imagine that? Less than a month away and him running again? And listen, the primary reasons that I don't think he should run is because he's damaged goods. You know, I don't think it's any more in doubt that he fueled what went on January 4th, and you may agree with that or not. But my other reason for not wanting him to run, and I was thinking about this in the wake of the hearing last night, on Thursday night, he's going to be 78 years old. And if I'm going to say that, you know, Joe Biden at almost 80 isn't fit for the job, I don't want anybody in their mid or upper 70s running for the White House again. I just don't. I don't care on what manner of steed they come in as the, you know, the vanquishing person here. I mean, I'm sorry. I just, no. You know, he'd be damaged goods. He'd be 78 years old, almost 79, I think. And it is time to move on. It really is. And that was one of the things that was really engendered in me as I punched back and forth last night between that and a hockey game. We won't talk about the hockey game. Well, we can. It was a good game. But anyway, what do you think? 203-333-9422, 333-WICC. Did you watch any of the primetime January 6th committee hearing last night? And if you did, what did you think? And if you didn't, why didn't you? Is there nothing that could have been brought up by the committee that would have changed your mind, or at least pushed you toward thinking of this in a new and maybe different way? Now, when we come back, we've got a break coming up here. We'll check traffic and weather together. When we come back, I also have some audio snippets. We'll go over some of the things that were said last night, including from the president's own daughter. And then I guess he said some. He pushed back on her. Oh, man. And, you know, the upstart of some of the or the uptake of some of what was said last night was, in fact, that, you know, there's conjecture that even Mr. Trump knew he lost, but he had to keep up this facade of saying the election was stolen because he couldn't come to grips with the fact that he lost. So, again, maybe these final hearings are good. This is the cathartic that the country needs and the Republican Party needs to say enough. We thank you for the three Supreme Court justices getting a little tougher on the border, saying this and saying that. But maybe it is time to move on from the Trump years. Or do you disagree? Would you vote for Donald Trump again to retain the presidency in 2024? Personally, I don't think he's running, but that's just me. Going now to one of our regular contributors here again to give you his thoughts as to what happened last night with the first of, I think, two or three primetime hearing sessions from the January 6th committee in the House. Professor Alan Sanders joins us, Professor Emeritus, Political Science at St. Peter's University in Jersey City, New Jersey. He's also an attorney and also covered D.C. for years as a former senior reporter for Time magazine. So we have numerous angles to cover this on. And Professor, hi, it's Paul again, sir. How are you today?
Very good, Paul. How are you doing?
Well, good, good. Let's take this, Professor, from angles here. Let's go with the media angle here, or the machinations of politics, because that was one thing you did early in your career, obviously a D.C.-based reporter. From a tactical point, Professor, what do you think the Democrats, if anything, achieved last night?
Well, I think they achieved two things. One was to address the American people, and, you know, it was a primetime event aimed to reach a maximal audience. And so that was the first goal that they tried to reach. I think they probably managed to do that reasonably well and to lay out the evidence in front of the American people and let them make a judgment. That was the first goal. I think the second goal basically was to put the Justice Department on alert. Here's what we know. Here's what we are sharing with the public. And there's other information that, of course, we have gathered that we haven't yet shared with the public. So take a look at all of this. We're willing to share it with you. At least they've indicated that they would be willing to do so at some point. Now over to you, Justice Department. What do you think about this?
That's interesting, Professor, because that is an angle that only a few people are mentioning here. You have a lot of people on the progressive left and even some centrists are saying, well, the Justice Department has to go after the president in criminal or civil cases. But yet, I know there may be, from some professor, a growing frustration here with Merrick Garland. And there's an allusion here I'm reading to some people saying, well, Merrick Garland is worried about the DOJ becoming political here, inflaming half the country. And I'm glad you mentioned that, because that's an angle not too many people are willing to talk about.
Well, yes. And, you know, I'd say two things about Merrick Garland. Yes, for many people, he's moving incredibly slowly, if moving at all. But one thing we need to keep in mind is if he were to bring a prosecution against Donald Trump, and I don't know that he's planning to do that, but if he were to do that, if his department were to do that, he understands that the evidence has to be airtight. This is not a prosecution that can go forward and result in an acquittal, because that would create chaos, political chaos in the United States. So it needs to be a prosecution that is actually solid, and to the best of his estimation or the department's estimation, it would lead to a guilty verdict. So, you know, you have to be very careful when you're going to indict a former president of the United States. This is not something that can just be done, and, oh, well, we'll see what the outcome is, what the jury thinks. So that's an important consideration that he has to take into account, and I presume that he would do that. In helping reach that judgment, I thought what the committee did yesterday, when Liz Cheney, the congresswoman from the co-chair, I should say, of the committee, did, is she laid out a whole bunch of interviews indicating how the president was informed by the people closest to him, the people he trusts the most, the people he hired himself, that the election was not stolen, it was a free and fair election, and he just lost. And many people just told him, you lost. Now, the president, then President Trump, to this day refuses to accept that reality. So you have to consider two things. Either he refuses to accept reality, or he knows very well what happened, and he used the levers at his disposal to manipulate things so that he could stay in power and, you know, assault democracy and refuse to abide by the will of the people. That goes to his intent. And I think that was one of the elements that the evidence last night sought to lay out. Is he devoid of understanding what reality is? Does he not understand reality? Or is he actually manipulating the system with an attempt to stage a coup? Now, of course, the Justice Department will have to decide that, and more broadly, the American people will have to decide that as more and more evidence is laid out in the hearings to come.
Professor Alan Sanders is with us. Professor Hang, I will be right back to you as we continue this fascinating discussion on what the purposes of were and will be in the further hearings coming up into the January 6th riot. First, though, traffic and weather together right here on WICC. And one of our regulars, when things get political around the country, Professor Alan Sanders, Professor Emeritus, Political Science, St. Peter's University, Jersey City, New Jersey. He's also an attorney and a former Time Magazine senior reporter based in D.C. Professor, do you think part of what the committee is doing here, in as much as you say Merrick Garland may not want to bring this to trial if he sees he can't be guaranteed of a guilty verdict here and a successful prosecution, is part of this, Professor, you think aimed at neutralizing another bid by Donald Trump in 2024? Because I'm sure they see the polls, Professor. I mean, Mr. Trump is still remarkably popular with at least half the country.
Well, that's certainly true. And I think, you know, the Justice Department, if it's operating professionally, doesn't pay attention to that. it just doesn't pay attention to that, and certainly it shouldn't pay attention to that. It should simply pay attention to the evidence. Does the evidence merit prosecution, and is the evidence solid enough to get a guilty verdict if there is a prosecution? And I think Merrick Garland is a professional. He understands that, and that often means moving slowly. Now, you know, I don't know what the Justice Department is doing or what it's assessing or what its considerations are, but I would say if it is considering a prosecution of the former president, then he has to be very careful and be sure there is solid evidence. Now, you know, that doesn't deflect from the general public rendering its own judgment about Donald Trump. And regardless of whether there is criminality here or not, just sit back for a minute and look at the evidence that was presented last night, and that will be, in even greater detail presented in the hearings to come. You've got a president who was told repeatedly, "You lost. Mr. President, you lost the election." The president refuses to accept that, either because he doesn't face reality or because he says it doesn't matter. I'm going to do whatever I can to stay in power, whichever interpretation you want to accept here. But everybody told him, "You lost." And then he sets about unleashing all kinds of efforts to overturn the elections. And every single lawsuit that was involved in this endeavor indicated that there was no evidence of any systematic problem with the election. This was a full, free, and fair election. So if you just sit back and look at it politically, neutrally, objectively, you have a sitting president who wants to stay in power no matter what people tell him about the realities of the event, the election. That's a very problematic thing, and I think the committee wants to make clear to the American people, look at the evidence. This is the person who inhabited the White House. This is the person who indicates he may still be willing to inhabit the White House. Is this the kind of person who will protect the national interest, or is this the kind of person that will protect only his personal interest? And I think that's what the committee is trying to do in the short run. Now, in the longer run, I should say, Paul, the committee wants to set out a record for history. It wants history, ultimately, to judge what Donald Trump did and all of the people around him. And that judgment will come. In 20, 25 years, 50 years. And the committee is betting that the judgment on President Trump and all the people who are making excuses for him and who enabled him, it is betting that the historical judgment will be very harsh.
And if you're a Republican in the Republican Party, Professor, I guess you're hoping that even if the evidence gets even more overwhelming against Mr. Trump, you're hoping for, I guess, Professor, what Americans and humans tend to do, they compartmentalize. Yeah, we're not happy with him. We don't like the way it ended, but I don't care because gas is $6 a gallon and my steak dinner just cost me $20 more. I mean, that's got to be what they're hoping for November, at least.
Well, certainly. I mean, look, the American people are always concerned about the immediate future, and the pocketbook is always a very important consideration. But when you look at the whole array of things involving the insurrection, the committee is saying, look, whatever the immediate problems may be, you got to understand what happened, because democracy, and that is the democracy means your right to decide who will govern you, was in deep danger. In the months and weeks leading up to January 6th, and of course on January 6th itself, and it continues to this day. And therefore, if you want to be in control of things like what do I say and how do I vote on matters of inflation, what do I say and how do I vote on matters of crime, on all matters, I want to be sure that I have a system that responds to my vote and those of my fellow citizens. And I think the committee is saying, look at what happened. Do you want to put that in danger again in the next election cycle? Because we averted the problem this last time. It is not at all clear that we will avert the problem next time. And so I think that's the message that the committee is trying to convey. Whether it convinces the American people, whether it leads them to vote in a particular way or another way, we'll have to wait and see.
One finally thing, Professor, that jumped out at me from yesterday and some of the sound bites that I played today and some of the transcripts I read, from what they presented, and I know a lot of hard right-wing Republicans don't like this, but it kind of puts former Vice President Mike Pence in somewhat of a good light, because apparently he, while this was going on, was trying to maybe wrestle control here and saying, you know, you've got to stop this. This is unacceptable. So, you know, that may be a campaign commercial for the former vice president coming up in a few years.
Well, yes, and I think what's really important here to remember is just take a look at it by sitting back. I mean, most Democrats and many people do not like Mr. Pence politically. They do not agree with him. They do not like and do not agree with Liz Cheney politically, okay? And so what you're seeing is that people with whom a lot of Americans don't agree with on the policies and the politics of the day nonetheless are recognizing that these two people are acting as statesmen and stateswomen, trying to say, look, you may not agree with me, that's okay. That's called democracy. That's called free speech. But let's understand what was at stake here. What was at stake here was an election, which means the will of the American people, and was put in danger by a president who refused to listen to repeated evidence and calls telling him, you lost. You lost the election. Be a statesman yourself. Admit it. And move on and let the new president take office and support him, as any American would do with any new president.
Professor Emeritus at St. Peter's University in Jersey City, New Jersey. He's an attorney and a former Time Magazine senior reporter, Professor Alan Sanders. Professor, thank you as always. We appreciate it, and we'll talk to you down the road. Have a good weekend.
My pleasure. You take care, Paul.
Thank you.